If you're really into healthy cooking and eating, you might be familiar with our next guest. Aaron Clark is a Milwaukee resident and the founder of the blog Well Plated with Aaron. The gist is healthy recipes that are easy to follow, use common ingredients, are affordable, and taste good. She's out now with a new cookbook. There's lots of advicey stuff in it, too, like how to instantly become a better cook, some must-have kitchen tools, pantry staples, and more. It's called The Well-Plated Cookbook, Fast, Healthy Recipes You'll Want to Eat. Aaron Clark joins us now for Food Friday. Aaron, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
How did you first get into cooking, Aaron?
Well, my love of cooking started in the dessert category. I grew up baking with my grandmothers in Wichita, Kansas, and every week during the summer, my Grammy would pick us up, bring us over to her house, and she would have picked out a different dessert recipe. I credit her with my sweet tooth. And we would make it together, and at that moment, I really fell in love with being in the kitchen, not only for the process, but also because I just really enjoyed the memories and the sense of community that I've always experienced with my family there. So fast forward to college, I make a pretty mean cake. But when I graduated, it turns out that you can't live on grandma's brownies and cookies the way that I think we all probably wish that we could. So I realized I'm probably going to have to learn how to cook something else for myself. So I went to the library, checked out a big stack of cookbooks. I started going to farmers markets. I still had a lot of student loans at this time, so budget was definitely a consideration for me. And I was also becoming more mindful about how I could eat more nutritiously. So pair that with this very classic Midwestern upbringing where, you know, the vegetables that were the star of the show in my family were corn and potatoes, or they came out of a can. And I found myself really enjoying playing around in the kitchen, creating lighter versions of the comforting dishes that I had enjoyed. And all along while this was happening, I've always loved writing. A friend of mine who knew that I really enjoyed writing and who knew I enjoyed cooking suggested that I start a food blog. Now, this is 2012, and while food blogs are a fairly popular commodity now, back then I have this vivid memory of Googling what is a food blog, and I pulled it up, seemed like people were posting some photos and recipes. I had a flip phone with a camera on it, so I thought, hey, I can do this too. And the very first recipe that I posted was a lightened up version of the green chili chicken enchiladas that my Grammy makes for us every Christmas. I thought that I was just kind of putting this out in the universe and nobody was going to click on it. But lo and behold, a few days later, a girlfriend of mine from high school messaged me to say that they'd made the enchiladas, loved them. Did I have any more recipes? And I thought, well, I guess I do. And now we can fast forward almost 10 years and 1,400 recipes later. And I still love the feeling of sharing recipes and having people make them as much today as I did back then.
We'll check out a couple of the recipes you shared with us in just a couple minutes. But also in your cookbook, you share, you know, kind of a best of lists of different kinds of advice. One is some easy ways to add a little extra healthiness, sneak in a little extra good stuff to our food to make it healthier. What are a couple of your either throw-ins or substitutions that you keep going back to?
This is so key for me when it comes to cooking healthy food in general, because we all want to eat food that tastes great. So rather than having to start from scratch, I'm a big believer in making small changes. Some of those would include where you might typically make spaghetti with white regular pasta noodles. Try a whole grain noodle. I bet it will surprise you, and you're going to get more fiber and nutrients in your diet than you would with the white pasta. Another signature swap of mine is to use plain non-fat Greek yogurt in situations that would typically call for sour cream. It has that same delicious creaminess, that light tang, but it's really high in protein and is much more nutritionally valuable than sour cream. So just really looking for I don't think you necessarily need to overhaul your cooking. They're just small changes that you can make here and there that make a big impact in the long term.
It's Food Friday. We're talking to Aaron Clark. Her new cookbook is The Well-Plated Cookbook, Fast, Healthy Recipes You'll Want to Eat. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a favorite healthy cooking bit of advice, or do you have a question for Aaron about how to make something, maybe a regular dish, a wee bit healthier? Call in at 800-642-1234. By the way, you can find some recipes that Aaron has shared with us at WPR.org/Food Friday. And let's get into one of those now, Aaron. And a regular Food Friday listeners know I look forward to winter squash season every year, one of my favorite seasonal produces in the world. One of the recipes you shared with us is a butternut squash chicken and wild rice casserole. It sounds great. Tell us about it.
I adore this recipe. When you think of how the feeling of comfort and warmth being wrapped up in a hug that we all crave in the fall, this recipe is that very embodiment. It's also a casserole, which I have a very deep childhood love for. I think that a number of us in Wisconsin can appreciate the sensibility of a dish where everything is all in one pan. What makes this one special is that it includes every single food group that you need. And I think that like when we try to think about eating a healthy diet, something that I hear from a lot of people that is intimidating is the fact that you feel like there's so many separate things that you need to prepare. Okay, well, we need a meat. Now on this side, it's supposed to be healthy, so I'm going to have to add a vegetable over here. And before you know it, your list of things you have to cook for dinner is a mile long. A recipe like this butternut squash casserole, you have the whole grains from the wild and brown rice. We've got our vegetable from our absolutely delicious butternut squash. I love butternut squash so much too. It's one of my favorites. Yeah. You have your lean protein from the chicken. And then for a little bit of deliciousness, because healthy food should never be bland or taste like a sacrifice, you've got the dried cranberries, the Parmesan, the thyme, the pecans. You don't need a lot of those special ingredients, but when you finish a dish with them, it turns it into something from something that you feel like you have to eat or you should eat into something that you'll legitimately crave.
And the one dish philosophy here fits into something you do throughout the book. Some of your recipes, you say, are a little more long and involved when you got the time to do it. But you also pay attention to those times when people don't have a lot of the time, like kind of making your own McMuffin sandwiches at home, but having them frozen and ready to rock in the morning. Talk about the importance of having those, I got 5 minutes to make a meal kind of options.
I get it. I am a full-time food blogger and cookbook author, and I have nights where I do not want to cook or I do not have time to cook. That is the situation that we all live in. And when I approach a recipe, what is most important to me is I want it to be attainable in your kitchen and in your everyday life. And so in addition to having some of those special recipes, a few of my favorites are in the cookbook. I go into 4 unboring ways to use shredded chicken, because while it's great if you have time to cook your own chicken, and I give you ways to do that in the book, you know what? Store-bought rotisserie chicken is a fantastic tool. So I've included a few quick and easy things you can do with it. Different ways that you can top a baked sweet potato, different things you can do with a can of chickpeas. These, when you have these simple quick fire recipes in your arsenal, then a night when you might be tempted to call for takeout, knowing that you can pull something delicious and nutritious out in 15 minutes can be the difference in a home cooked meal versus not.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Chris is with us in Adams. Chris, hi.
Hi. I have food allergies, and I'm on a grain-free anti-inflammatory diet. I'm also allergic to nightshade vegetables. The last one really nails me because I love tomatoes and peppers so much. But I have a couple of substitutes for people that want to go completely cereal grain-free, and some other suggestions. Instead of the whole wheat spaghetti noodles, you can buy sweet potato noodles at the Asian food store, and they take a little getting used to, but they're really, really good for you. You should eat a sweet potato every day. And the other thing I wanted to say is that quinoa is, it also takes a little getting used to because it has kind of a strange texture, but it's also really good for you. It's very high in protein, and you can use it as a substitute for rice or whatever.
Chris, thanks a lot for the call. Aaron, have you worked with things like that, things you'd put in place of grain, either because you need to, like Chris does, or because you want to, because some people like quinoa and sweet potato substitutions and things like that?
Oh, absolutely. So another really popular one, like those sweet potato noodles. Chris, my husband, and I actually really like those too. Or what sometimes we'll do zucchini noodles, especially in the summer where I feel like I have zucchini coming out of my ears. And for those, it's a really great way to sneak in an additional serving of vegetables without feeling like you're making a sacrifice. And something else that my husband and I will do sometimes for those who don't have dietary restrictions is you can even make spaghetti with half whole wheat noodles and half vegetable noodles. And that kind of gives you the best of both worlds for those who are able to do that.
Thanks for the call, Chris. We are talking to Erin Clark on this edition of Food Friday. She's the Milwaukee resident who blogs at Well Plated by Erin. She's got a new cookbook out. It's called The Well Plated Cookbook, Fast, Healthy Recipes You'll Want to Eat. She has shared three recipes. We've got them up at WPR.org/Food Friday, that butternut squash and chicken dish we talked about. Coming up, we'll touch on some killer kale salad and chocolate-covered strawberry brownies. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a quick, healthy, cheap dish that is a go-to in your household? Or do you find it hard to make healthy stuff that actually tastes good? Is there a pantry item you always have on hand? How about a kitchen bit of gear that you couldn't do without? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. It's Food Friday. We're talking about quick, affordable, and healthy cooking with Erin Clark, Milwaukee resident, author of the new cookbook, The Well-Plated Cookbook, Fast, Healthy Recipes You'll Want to Eat. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a favorite healthy recipe that you like to make and or eat? Are there some tricks that you use to make your dishes a little healthier? Or do you have questions for our guest, maybe about substitutions, changes, things to freshen things up a little bit? You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Erin, let's check out another recipe you've shared with us. We've got it at WPR.org/Food Friday. This kale salad. Now, you've got the fundamental recipe here and some variations too, which I love. Tell us about your kale salad.
First of all, I would just like to apologize to everyone who's had a terrible kale salad and who's heard the words kale salad and thought, oh no, this girl is not for me. The one big tip that I can give you to make a truly killer kale salad, I meant it when I named that recipe, is to really get your hands in there and massage the kale. It breaks down its fibers and it turns it into something that a bunny would not, or that only a bunny would sniff. Into a salad that is really soft and buttery and can take on a lot of different flavors. And that once you have your kale ready to go, it can actually last in your refrigerator for several days. So it's a great thing to prep once and then enjoy all week long. So the kale starts with a base, and then from there that I have given different variations for ways you can take that same salad and create different spin-offs for the season. So I have a harvest version, we have a Mediterranean version, and a Mexican version. They all start with the same building blocks of your kale, great grain like quinoa is excellent mixed in there, some kind of beans for some protein, and then really just the fun and yummy mix-ins like cheese and nuts. And if you take, say, 40 minutes to prep a huge batch on the weekend, you'll be able to enjoy healthy lunches all week long. And I love this whole idea of just taking a single base recipe and then building on it. You can learn one technique and then enjoy it over and over again. It makes your cooking less stressful and more exciting too.
I was going to say, I love that mindset. And it's along the lines of your, four uses for shredded chicken and that kind of thing. It's learn this precise recipe and then you can replicate this precise recipe in the future. Instead, it's learn this basic thing, and then you get to do what you want with it, which I appreciate.
Exactly. And sometimes, I don't want to go to the grocery store and go shop for the one ingredient I don't have, which is why it's great to have just a really simple formula that you can then swap in and out the different things that you either have on hand or that you just personally prefer.
We heard from Kelly in Green Bay who wants to know if there's a substitution for making basil pesto. Kelly says, to make it less fattening. Now, I'm thinking of basil pesto, and there's some nuts and olive oil, which I hear, I'm no nutritionologist, but I hear those are the good fats. That said, do you have thoughts on healthy pesto, Erin?
Well, it was Kelly, right?
Kelly, yeah.
Yeah, Kelly, you need to, my cookbook because you and I have extremely similar feelings about pesto. I actually have a recipe in my book for creamy basil pesto, and my trick is that I swap out some of the oil for Greek yogurt. I was not kidding when I said it was one of my favorite healthy ingredients earlier. It makes the pesto thick and creamy, but it's still really luscious and rich and far less fattening. I also sneak in some extra veggies there. Rather than doing entirely basil, I do a mix of half basil and half spinach. The spinach is so mild, you can't even taste it, and yet you're adding so much more nutritional benefit to your pesto. I have 4 containers of it in my freezer right now, and I just can't wait till the winter day when I get to pull out and enjoy it.
All right, Kelly, I hope that helps you out. It is Food Friday. We're talking to Erin Clark about her new book, The Well-Plated Cookbook, Fast, Healthy Recipes You'll Want to Eat. Erin, by the way, a Milwaukee resident. Let's get to the third recipe you shared with us, Erin. Getting back to your baking days, the recipe is chocolate-covered strawberry brownies. I'll say you had me at chocolate-covered strawberry brownies. Tell us about these. They sound great.
I am a big believer that everyone should have a back pocket brownie recipe. It is a life necessity. And for me, when I'm craving a brownie, I typically was craving it about 20 minutes ago. And so when I set out to create this recipe, I was determined that I could come up with a stellar, lightning fast brownie recipe that could be made in one bowl. I absolutely hate doing dishes, hence the other reason for the large number of one pan and one pot suffers in my cookbook. I just don't want to wash dishes. And so these brownies are a stellar base. They're just nice and fudgy, a little crackly, crispy on the top. And then the suggestion that I have in the cookbook is to layer on fresh strawberries and a drizzle of chocolate. It makes them really special and memorable. But if that's not your thing, or you just are feeling like you need to dig into your brownie immediately, you can enjoy it on its own. I've included a version for topping it off with sea salt and caramel. Possibilities are really limited only by your imagination.
Wow, that sounds like a lot of fun. And yeah, do you go with the berries of the season sometimes with that?
Oh, that is a fantastic idea. Absolutely. Earlier this summer, I did a version of these with raspberries and white chocolate. It was to die for.
Oh, that sounds so good. I love the sound of that. Hey, let's talk about equipment a little bit. I know there's one kitchen gadget that yeah, it's a desert island pick for you. What is your essential kitchen piece of gear that you would not be left without?
I am a big believer in a really good quality chef's knife. I don't think that you need a bunch of fancy kitchen gadgets to be a great cook. Those things are fun, but I'm actually, despite being a cook for my full-time job, very much a minimalist in the kitchen. I don't need a garlic press. I'm really happy with my great chef's knife. It will make every kitchen task that much quicker and easier for you.
And then for cookware, I understand you're a big fan of your Dutch oven.
Oh, I take it to bed with me at night. No, I really do. That is an investment piece that will last a lifetime. I received mine for a wedding gift going on 9 years ago, and I have beaten it up and used it several times a week, and it serves me just as well today as it did back then.
Now, I want to go behind the scenes a little bit. You've shared a lot, hundreds of recipes on your food blog, and you've got a lot in the cookbook. What goes into testing a recipe and making sure that when you put it into written form, you have conveyed your intent and what you actually do in the kitchen?
It's once I have the concept for a recipe down, say I decide I want to make a really great recipe for homemade fried rice. I will think through every single component because I'm not just walking into the kitchen throwing it together for my husband and self and I to eat for dinner that night. I am trying to compile it so that you, your home, and your kitchen can recreate it with the same success. So I plan out every ingredient to make sure that you can find it at my barometer of whether or not an ingredient will go into my cookbook is can I find it at Pick and Save here right down the road in Milwaukee? If I can't, there's no reason for me to think you can find it in your kitchen either. I'll cut it out or come up with something else that you can find. I think about the number of pots and pans you're going to get dirty. And I'm not going to ask you to measure a million different spices and get every single bowl dirty because, like we talked about, cooking a healthy dinner, cooking dinner at all, let alone a healthy dinner, is a challenge. And so with every recipe, I try to eliminate every possible barrier to that. I meticulously write out every recipe and adjust the notes as I go along. And then I test multiple times. So for me, the most important part of writing my cookbook was that the recipes work. No matter how beautiful a cookbook looks, it won't do you any good if the recipe doesn't turn out. And so for that reason, the recipes in my book, I personally tested those brownies. I think I tested those brownies about 10 times. I have a very vivid memory of weeping into a pan of those brownies when my sister was here because they weren't just right.
Uh-oh.
In addition to testing myself, I ask close friends and family to test them for me as well, just to make sure that it turns out as well for them as it does for me.
In our last minute, you're in Wisconsin, I'm in Wisconsin. Let's talk about cheese. You are a very strong advocate of grating your own cheese as opposed to buying pre-grated. Why is it such a big difference maker?
That is one tip that every single person listening can do right now that will automatically make their food taste better. When you buy pre-packaged, pre-shredded cheese, it is typically coated with a powder-like substance to keep it from all clumping together in the bag. That substance not only dilutes the cheese's flavor, it also makes it so it doesn't melt as well. So if you've ever wondered why your cheese might not be as stretchy or as creamy, that can be a big reason. It's also a lot more affordable to buy cheese and grate it yourself off the block. I like to do it all at once, sometimes in my food processor, throw it in a plastic container, and then I can just keep it in my refrigerator and it is good to go.
Erin, that's a great piece of advice to leave us with. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a lot of fun.
Milwaukee's own Erin Clark joined us today for this edition of Food Friday. She's the creator of Well Plated by Erin. That's a blog. And her new cookbook is The Well Plated Cookbook, Fast, Healthy Recipes You'll Want to Eat. We've got three of those recipes posted at WPR.org/Food Friday. Butternut squash chicken and wild rice casserole, three variations of her killer kale salad, and chocolate-covered strawberry brownies. Give them a shot this weekend. Let us know how it went.